right. I'm back. That is right. That is a definite wrestling song that you're hearing, if you know what that song is. but when I knew I would be doing another podcast, I knew since it had been so long, I would have to use that song. Because I remember it was back when I watched wrestling all the time. Not that I watch it some of the time now, but back when I watched wrestling, there was a time in the early 2000s when I was watching the show and that theme song came on for Eric Bischoff, the former basically runner of WCW when he came into WWE for the first time. And that song has always stuck with me just because it starts with "I'm back." And I always thought, that's a great song to start with. The only other one would be "Back in Black," but you have to kind of wait for that one to go. And you know, keeping it under 10 seconds allows me to use it. So at least I think. Anyway, it doesn't matter even if I'm wrong, because not that many people listen to this. At least not that many lawyers, I hope. Anyway, yeah, it's been a while. And I'm just going to do freeform here, and I think that's kind of the format going forward. It would be easiest for me to do more of these, to do more freeform. And I think it's easier to listen to, frankly, is to just hear someone talk. So, anyway, yeah, it's been a while. I've been doing a lot. A couple of the reasons why it's been a while. I've moved. For one, I'm still in San Jose. I was previously in San Jose, but I was living with some family friends and for a while, and me and my girlfriend Kim were able to get our own place, get our own apartment here in San Jose. It's small, but we're here with our dog, or it's actually my girlfriend's grandma's dog, but she can't really take care of her because of her health. So we are taking care of her, and we have for a while, and so it's the three of us here in San Jose, and I finally had a day off after the crazy Black Friday weekend. That's the other reason why it's been a while, not because of Black Friday, but at work I was promoted. If you want to congratulate me, don't. It's a minor achievement. not that I enjoy getting recognized at work, but it's my day job. JCPenney is not the highlight of my life, except for when I get money. So getting the new position and getting promoted, getting more money, meant working more often, which meant more time lost in terms of doing this and doing stuff on the website. And the other reason is because I started writing a novel. And seriously writing. And I made a schedule for myself about a month ago. And I've been keeping to it. I'm about a day short. This is my second attempt at recording this. So I'm actually taking more time out of today that I need writing. I'm actually about 1,500 words behind schedule. But that's not bad. As long as I can write something today, I'll be fine. And as I speak, it's 1 o'clock, so hopefully that means I'll have plenty of time. So the main thing I wanted to talk about, there are two things that I've been up to, Shakespeare-wise, and one's very loosely Shakespeare-wise. The main theater organization in the Bay Area, if you're unaware, is called Theater Bay Area. It's the big organization that kind of creates the theater Bay Area community, or so to speak. It connects all the big theaters, all the theater makers together. Together. And every year they do an awards, sort of like a Tony Awards, for the local theaters, at the local theater season. And this year they tried for the first time to do an awards ceremony. It's their first annual TBA Awards celebration. And it was just like the Tonys. It was at the Geary Theater, the ACT Theater in San Francisco. And I got to go with my girlfriend because she was assistant director and a stage manager of a show called Take Me Out. It's a baseball show done in Redwood City at the Dragon Theater. The Dragon Theater didn't produce it, although they did. I guess you would say, in movie terms, they executive produced it. They released it, but it was part of their second stage program where they bring in people to do their dream projects, and those people become the producers of those shows, and they run the shows how they would like, and then, you know, under the guideline, under certain artistic things that the Dragon wants to do, and but they just kind of leave them alone to do their own show, and it was a great show, and they got nominated. They got a bunch of nominations, and it was a great night. I saw a lot of people I have worked with and people I've gone to school with. A few people I've gone to school with got... Actually, I think only one person I went to school with got an award, which was... I think two or three got nominations, but only one actually won, but... that got me really jealous, so I'll just leave it there. I'll table that for now. Anyway, that was fun, fun time. And a few Shakespeare nominations. I know Cal Shakes got a couple of nominations. Wee Players got nominations. I don't know if it was for the Macbeth. I think it was for another show that they did. Anyway, if you don't know that one, that's the company in San Francisco that actually did... At the legendary Presidio, they did a Civil War version of Macbeth, and you kind of traveled around the Presidio war memorial or war old war place. I'm very articulate right now. Anyway, wow, apologize for those. I've done this already once, and an audio error came up when I tried to process it, and. I actually ended up losing all the audio. So, this is my second go, and I'm trying to make it more concise than the first time, so that's the better half. Anyway, so I did the TBA Awards. That was fun. Hopefully, one of these days, I can be nominated for something. Anyway, until that happens, I did... The main thing I wanted to talk about, and I've been meaning to talk about this for a while... in October, my girlfriend's birthday was on the 13th. That's not the story, but for her birthday, we went to something called Shakespeare. That's one word, but it's Shakes, and then, like Shakespeare, and then beer instead of peer. Beer as in the drink, beer. Because it was at a pub, at a sort of bar cafe place. I think it's called Cafe Stritch. Yeah, that is where it happened, now that I'm remembering. Here in San Jose. And it basically was everyone sit around, get a beer, and this company has these actors basically doing a very loose staged reading, kind of Macbeth. They did another show at a different time, and then I think they're going to do a comedy next... not sure what next would be, but I forget the name of the company. I'll put that at the end in the show notes, so check those out if you want to know what company it was. But if you just search Shakespeare, that's one word, S-H-A-K-E-S-B-E-R, and then San Jose, and even throw in Cafe Stritch, can't remember if it's Stritch or Stitch. I think it's Stritch. Anyway, and search that, you'll find them, and hopefully I'll be able to find them too, and I'll put them in the show notes, because it was one of the most amazing things ever. The actors get together, and I guess they do a few rehearsals. They hold the scripts in their hand, except for one or two actors. Macbeth, for instance, he had his part memorized. And I've seen him in many things before, and he's amazing. He actually is the actor who... he was in a production down here in San Jose at City Lights Theater Company of Hamlet. And the Hamlet show itself was kind of like, it wasn't necessarily my favorite. But his performance of Polonius was, in my opinion, the very finest Polonius I have ever seen anywhere, including movies and television and BBC specials and whatever. He is the finest... and most accurate portrayal of who, in my opinion, Polonius is, and should be, that I have ever seen. I always thought in order to get that level of exactness would be for me to do it. But to see someone else actually do it, it's like, wow, me and you had the same idea. Or me and the director, or whatever. Anyway, but he was playing Macbeth, and he had his parts memorized. Everyone else, and they did double casting a lot, because there's only a few of them. I think there was like 8, maybe 9 people. And they double cast, which was fine, because it was basically just a reading. But they were on their feet, they were moving around. There were no fights or anything, but they did kind of little movements and stuff like that. But it was really cool, and it was like you had a party in a bar, and then a bunch of guys said, "Hey, you know what would be fun? Let's do Shakespeare." You know, instead of like, "Hey, let's," you know, like the image of like a traditional pub where like everyone breaks out into song and you sing a little Irish drinking song or something like that. It's like that, but hey, let's do Shakespeare. And there were many cool things. One of the cool things was, since there are so many deaths in the play, what they did was, anytime a player dies on stage or is referenced to have died by another character, meaning they died off stage, then everyone takes their glass, holds it up and like a toast, and has a quiet toast, and then we all have a quiet toast and drink to the death of that character. It was really cool. And even the actors did it. Some actors had drinks in their hands when they did, and they raise it up. And then it was a very loose staging. There were some very specific staging ideas. Because there was a small stage there meant for bands or like a solo singer or whatever, but a very tiny thing meant for like open mics or whatever. And so they used that a little bit, but then they just kind of used the open space, and they were kind of like, it's a bar, you're going to get up and get more drinks and whatever, and you're going to stand, you know, move around. If you can't see us, turn around, and we'll do our best to capture your attention. We're going to be over here. And the actors that weren't in the story, they were just kind of standing off somewhere, and you could see them, and you could see them standing there with their script, and you could see them, they were just watching, and they weren't in character, they were just standing there as themselves, watching, enjoying the play, until, oh, okay, now I have to be Ross. I don't know why I chose that character, but it was great. It had this momentum to it, this energy, this excitement. The crowd was really into it. And maybe my experience was different from anyone else's there, but for me, it captured the essence of what Shakespeare should be, and what I think Shakespeare has lost in this country, or at least productions of Shakespeare have lost. The theater has definitely lost a lot of this, but you just go back to what theater was in Shakespeare's time. And here's where I'll make a recommendation for anyone interested. Check out the podcast. I believe it's still in the iTunes store, called Shakespeare's Restless World. It's from BBC4. And I think it's a book as well, and they made a tiny little few podcasts about it. And basically where the author or the historian basically walks you through what Shakespeare's world was like. Not talking about any of his plays. I mean, they talk about his plays here and there, but it's all in reference to real-world stuff. For instance, why is witchcraft such a big deal and black magic in Macbeth? Well, because King James, at the time, fancied himself a witch hunter. He used part of that to enhance his reputation before he became king, for everyone to see him in reverence. As this witch hunter, this guy anointed by God. And so witches and witch hunting was a very big thing to him. So is it a coincidence? No, not at all. Because Shakespeare does this all the time, in all of his plays. And so that kind of is a really cool thing to check out if you're interested in the history of Shakespeare and what his world was like at the time. And the thing about the theater at the time was it was a rough place. You would have people like selling snacks and drinking. There would be a lot of drinking because it would be in the middle of the day. And people back then drank way more than we do today because water wasn't a healthy... It was hard to get clean water. much as it is today in third world countries and whatnot, it was just clean water was not very accessible. So you would drink, mostly you would drink ales and things like this in the medieval period and going into the Renaissance. So that would be a choice. But definitely in the middle of the day, you would probably be drinking anyway, because it's the middle of the day, you're at an event, a special event, you want to make it even more special, you drink. So you would have people getting drunk and tipsy, and like in a bar, there would be many distractions of different food, because the place we were at also had food you could order. You can go up and order some French fries or some sandwiches or whatever, some burgers. And you can go get burgers and food and more beer and more drinks. And that's what it was. And go to the bathroom. Not that you can't do that in any other theater, but in every other theater, it's kind of like, oh, you wait till intermission. You try and hold it in. Because you don't want to be that guy getting up in the middle and ruining people's sight lines because you got to go to the bathroom and you got to block them for a little bit. You know, because this is a live performance. It's not like 6 months from now you can go rent the movie and see what you missed. This is the only chance the audience can see. So it's a bit of an etiquette thing. But in here, it's like, it's a bar. You're going to go because you're going to keep drinking, so you're going to need to really go. So you just go. And that's what Shakespeare's audience did. If they ever did, they would go. They actually talk about it in that Shakespeare's Restless World podcast that I talked about. And the location of the theater was around bear baiting, cockfighting, you know, you would have fights and all these entertainment things that were very brutal and very exciting. All these sporting type events of the day would be in the area. I mean, that was the area where you would go across the river to the theater district to find some to drink. To gamble, perhaps some get some fine ladies of the night and or of the day, and then go back home, go to your priest in your and then be safe in your town and know that you can always go back across the river later. It was not a very it wasn't the highlight of the neighborhood, so to speak, where the theater district was. So when you take that into account and you take the kind of clientele that would be there, that's the clientele that is in the groundlings. They are drinking, they're feisty, they will get in fights in the middle of shows. And in fact, there are some accounts that they did that would happen frequently in not just Shakespeare shows, but in other shows. And then you have people who come across the river, and then they're sitting in the better seats. But even there, they're still drinking, they're still eating and whatnot. And there's a lot of distractions, and there's a lot of stuff to compete against. And your audience wants something flashy, something exciting, not flashy, but thrilling. And you got to capture their attention. And you think of how long Shakespeare's plays are. He's got to capture their attention, the attention of some drunk, surly, feisty audience members, Londoners, in the middle of the day, for like 3-4 hours, depending on the show. So how do you do that? And his plays would have an energy about them. They wouldn't have this reverence about it. It would have this almost interactive nature to it. Not that it would be like the audience, you know, but it would have this shared energy between the audience and the people on stage. And that's what I felt at Shakespeare. It's kind of like sports. And I use this analogy a lot, but sports is really the energy and the excitement you get in a sporting event that you really enjoy is unmatched. You can't match it in theater. You can't match it in a movie. You can't match it on TV. Because there's this part of it. There are many reasons why, but in my opinion, part of it is because there's this shared experience going on. Most sporting fans refer to their team, their baseball team or whatever, as we. It's a collection. that we are a part of them and they are a part of us and we're all collectively experiencing this. When you're at a baseball game and someone hits a walk-off home run and your team wins, you're hugging and slapping hands and enjoying this thing with complete strangers all around you. So there's that kind of energy, that kind of dynamic pull. That is what Shakespeare tried to create. We'll never know if that was the type of thing he had, but we do know that's kind of the atmosphere he had to have, just because that's the clientele he had. And so the sort of bar room brawl energy of a play had to exist, and that's kind of what Shakespeare got in this Macbeth that they did. And I felt just this collection, especially when we all raised our glasses when someone died, and then we all kind of there was this one moment where Macduff was got the audience to chant Macduff, 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 you know, almost exactly like a sporting event. It was exciting, and there was some improvised moments, not in terms of language. I mean, one or two times, there were a lot of improvised kind of let's throw some comedy in here, let's throw some interaction in here, and it didn't diminish the power of the tragedy either. That's the important part. Is anyone can do that kind of thing. But it's very difficult to do all that stuff I just mentioned and sustain the energy and the importance and the poetry and the meaning of the tragedy being told, of the drama being done, and to not do any kind of damage to the integrity of the characters or their desires or the story and the emotional pull of it. Any joker can go up and make a play, you know, hey, you know, that kind of energy, but that kind of snappy energy. But it's very difficult to do that and sustain your story and the integrity of your story at the same time. And they did it. Did they do it amazingly? Was it the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life and will ever see? No. There were a lot of things that I thought, oh, well, this is kind of weird. You know, I have a lot of criticisms, but I'm not going to go into it, mostly because I don't remember it. But just I came away, the overall feeling I came away with, which is the main thing I like to focus on. Because anyone can nitpick anything, and I'm very good at nitpicking it, but you eventually get to a point where nitpicking ruins everything. So you just got to go away from, well, yes, this was bad, but this is bad. But that's going to happen anywhere. What was the overall feeling you walked away with? Was it good or bad? And mine was good. And it captured that energy. And in my opinion, Shakespeare needs that more. The theater needs that more. Because it's become too reverential. It's become too solo experience. It becomes, I'm going somewhere, and I'm personally solo having an experience. A show is happening, and I am watching it. Versus what I felt was, oh, you should have been there. We saw a great play. We collectively, as a group, and including all the strangers. And you know, I can talk about what I liked and what I experienced, but there's just a feeling of we to it, almost the same feeling of a sports team. We went ecstatic when he hit that walk-off home run. We went ecstatic when he threw that game-winning touchdown. We went ecstatic when he hit that game-winning at the buzzer three-pointer to win the game by 1 point. Like that kind of we, that kind of collective feeling that I experienced something. Yes, but I experienced something. And I'm also, at the same time, part of something. I don't know if any of this makes sense to anyone. But trust me, it's an amazing experience. And you know, it's become too... Theater has become too separated from that kind of energy. Not to say I haven't seen many great plays have that same effect on me. Because I have. But most of them have been new experimental works. I have not seen, and it's easy to do, not, well, it's not easy. Let's write that. But it's easier to do that with a new work because you can change things, you can do things, you can alter it, and you can alter everything about the play to form to that kind of experience. It's very difficult to do that with a work that has already been done and already been created and already has a structure, a set structure for how this works and what the story is. And Shakespeare is that kind of thing. And hopefully, and the cool thing is, anyone can do this. You book some time at a bar or a theater or a bar or a cafe or someplace like that. And you do this kind of event. You can like plan it like a couple months in advance, but not actually do any rehearsal until like 2 weeks out, because you can say, well, you maybe memorize your lines, but everyone else, you can use your scripts, or even you, everyone can use their scripts. The point is to, it's kind of the feeling when you're in an acting class, you get to play around, you get to experiment, and it's just a great experience. And I'll keep everyone updated if I see it happening again, because I think they are going to do it again. And the one thing I'm disappointed in was that I wasn't able to join in an audition that I didn't know about it beforehand, because I would have loved to be a part of it. But hopefully one day in the future, I can. But otherwise, that's actually all I had to talk about today. There's some big Shakespeare stuff involved with the novel that I mentioned that I'm writing, but I'll get to that later. There are a lot of Shakespeare characters in there that I decided to include. It's an urban fantasy novel, and I include a lot of characters, a lot of the magical characters and things from Shakespeare, because that was my window into it, so it's made it more exciting. So I gotta go. In my first recording of this podcast, I ended with the sign-off phrase from Jerry Springer, which is "Take care of yourself and each other," or something like that. I believe that's what he said. I haven't actually confirmed it since, but when I found out I had to re-record this, I said I'm gonna find something new to say, and I still haven't. So anyway, I'm just going to end with thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back with me. And I promise I'll do my best to do more of these, to do more stuff. There is one thing I do want everyone to know. I might be moving a lot of my content over to my official... I do have another website, kevinschofield.info. That's mainly stuff, my own, personal website as an actor, writer, and director. So if you want more of me, I'll be over there. I'll have personal blogs, and I might even have a personal podcast going over there every once in a while. But anyway, hope you enjoy this. Hope this works. Hopefully I don't have to do a third or a fourth one of these. So anyway, thank you for listening, and take care of yourself.